What are we talking about?
Not fairies.
What are we talking about? Well, sorry.
Actually, before we even get to that.
Yes.
Because I was late, why was Lou so upset?
Oh.
Why was she upset? Lou had a little rant, didn't you, Lou?
I may have.
This is a safe place.
Yes, I was having a rant.
I missed it.
Yes.
Were you ranting about the fact that we have these new cups and, you know,
oh,
they don't have any coffee in them?
Yes, that's exactly what I was ranting about.
How many coffees a day? No, you don't drink coffee.
No,
I never grew up.
Yeah, like Peter Pan.
I'd like to fly. I skydive for a lot of years, but that's just falling quickly.
Speaking of flying, have you seen the new Wicked musical?
I have not.
The movie?
No.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
Where? In Brisbane?
Yeah.
No.
I'm not a fan of the musical, but I saw the movie, obviously. And there's a song about flying at the end. And they spent tens of millions of dollars on the special effects. Oh. Like, they did a good job.
Because it's like 60 grand a second or something stupid.
$60,000 a second.
I pulled a figure out of the space that would have elicited that kind of response. But it is very expensive because you can have, you know, 10 or 20 people working on 1 second.
That's crazy.
Wow. The budget to use special effects always exceeds the budget to build a set and actually do it.
Do you know how much we spend per second on the Shift Extension Paramedic podcast?
Do I count the time that I just spent in traffic, the fuel that I just burned trying to get in the middle of nowhere, Bell Barry, the equipment that's around the table, and the mugs that have no coffee in them?
Correct.
$27.
Per second. It's expensive.
I meant for the whole season. But anyway.
Speaking of expensive, have you heard about the Shift Extension Patreon membership? Because it's not expensive. It's only $18 a month.
What do they get for that, Nick?
Well, I had a little blurb, but I forgot it. But they get like... What? What do they get? I have to think about it for
a
second. I
want to hear this blurb.
Yeah.
They get access to our symposiums.
Okay.
Our training days.
Excellent. That's an important one. That is a good one.
We get to keep making these episodes at $27 a second.
Look, people seem to enjoy these and listen to them. We get a lot of good feedback. Not so much critical feedback. I'm still chasing some critical feedback.
We have a mentoring board. We can ask us questions.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think I would actually use that too because half the questions I get asked raise more questions. You know one of the funniest questions I was ever asked by a student?
There you go.
One of the last things people ever want to teach is obstetrics. Right? And it's probably because most paramedics out there are fairly unfamiliar with it. And so when you're new to a university position, quite often like, oh, great, new person can take obstetrics. So I was stuck in an obstetric class in like one of my first years in teaching in uni. And this is years ago. This is like 10 years ago. But I thought I was acing it because I'd managed to go through things like nuchal cord and I went through shoulder dystocia. I went through breech delivery. And we were actually on to bimanual compression, which is obviously one of those, you know, awkward ones. But while we were in the middle of demonstrating the practical and getting the students understanding, you know, the mechanics of why we've got to do this, one of the students asked me, if you're in situ performing bimanual compression and the patient goes into cardiac arrest, can you shock the patient?
What does this have to do with memberships?
The mentor board.
The mentor board.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you.
The mentor board.
So if you have a...
It was a question asked of me and it raised a lot more questions.
A puzzling question. You can dive deep on our mentoring board. Lou, you haven't signed up.
Sorry about that.
I haven't either.
You remember.
Have you signed up?
I pay my $18.
Do
mostly
you?
To make sure it still works.
Nick's paid about $1,800 for the equipment.
Yeah.
Check it out. patreon.com/theshiftextension1 is the handle. I don't know why. It is.
There's another one out there?
Maybe. Lou, what are we talking about today? Why were you so passionate?
Yes.
For...
So as you all know, I'm a student.
What?
Yeah.
I'm a student, Lou.
We're all students.
Students of life.
Students. We're always learning. Yeah. But I'm just more of a junior student. You're a senior student.
Are you saying I'm old?
Absolutely.
You're nearly 40. Fuck.
You're Boy, basically 40.
I got ID'd at the bottle line the other day. And I was like, mate, have you seen these grey hairs?
I just take it as a compliment.
I'll take it.
Just take it.
So you're a student.
Yeah.
Good. Good conclusion.
I prefer next gen.
Yeah.
Next generation paramedic.
Yes.
Superstar.
So, we were just saying, I was saying, Nick was listening, how did...
I was agreeing. Oh, tell me more. Tell me how you really feel. I was practicing my active listening.
Yes, no, you weren't. You had your back to me. You were cooking eggs.
I was hungry.
There's eggs?
No, not there anymore. Was. I ate them.
I came late.
That's what you get.
You're a student.
Yes. we were talking about how different students have it now in comparison to how students had it 10, 20 years ago.
Okay.
How so?
Well, from my understanding, 10, 20 years ago, you do the degree, you basically get handed a job most of the time.
Well, if you want to go 20 years ago, there was no degree. You would be recruited into an ambulance service because it was virtually one of the only places you could work, or you'd get recruited into a resource company. But even then, you needed to have a diploma. But okay, so 10 years ago?
Yeah.
15?
So there was a higher demand for paramedics back in the day, at least your experience when you went through the degree.
Mm, 100%.
Yeah. Whereas now, it's flipped.
What's flipped?
So there's less of a demand for employees, and there's a huge amount of students that are, at least in Queensland, doing the degree and graduating every year and looking for a job.
I've heard this perpetuated from every other state, though, but I'm not going to interject. I may disagree, but keep going.
And so because we know that there is so much competition out there, we sort of know that there are extra things that we have to do to be even considered different from other students that have just done the degree, like you guys would have done back in the day.
She's basically saying we had it easier.
Ooh.
I don't want to throw the word entitled around.
Oh, Jesus.
We might upset some listeners.
Oh, are you saying I'm entitled?
A little bit.
It's okay. This is a safe place.
Just different experiences. So okay. I was saying to Nick, I now make sure I do volunteering, get good grades. I'm trying to do more things in the community to be considered, or at least to sort of stand out from other students that have maybe just done the degree, because I know that there are limited positions now because there's, what, 6 universities in Queensland that are teaching this degree that I'm learning?
Was it like 18 in the country?
I just pulled that out of...
It's like 10,000 paramedic students.
Mm.
Is there that many?
Apparently.
Mm.
Huh. That's across the...
I'm pulling that out of my ass, but...
That's across the 3-year programs.
Mm.
Correct.
Okay. So you're doing the community service...
Well,
to make yourself stand out.
Yeah, volunteering.
Right, not to be altruistic.
Are you doing this to stand out, or do you actually want to be here?
I do want to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll keep you.
But this was winding her up.
It is.
Just the difference. You know, you're already so stressed as a uni student, but knowing that, you know, you've obviously got to work on top of that, and then you got to look at volunteering and doing well academically and being involved in a student group. Having all these different experiences, yeah, did wind me up a little bit.
I'm going to throw this out there.
Here we go.
And so I've come from several ambulance services, several universities. I've been on employment boards. I've been on interview teams. I've been involved in paramedic recruitment. And we've never looked at grades.
Oh.
Shock. Well, great. You could have told me that 2 years ago.
No, I'm not saying don't study well, but I'm saying certainly it's not something that has been looked at. Like, did this person get a HD?
Interesting.
So I think the crux of it, and this is something that is perpetuated in the conversations that happen between student groups, and you hear it in all different types of workplaces that hire paramedics, is that I'm not going to get a job. There's more jobs, or there's more graduates than there are jobs, and I'm scared, and I need to do all this extra stuff to make myself stand out to get a job, because that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a really interesting point, and it's something that has perpetuated for years now, right? This concept of there's no jobs, you're all screwed.
I'm going to go as far as saying it's been perpetuated for 20 years, Nick.
20 years.
Now,
I'd say that.
Nick and I both went through a different pathway. There's multiple pathways existing in Australia now, but we know that to register as a paramedic, you must have a degree. So that is a change.
Mm.
I consider myself fortunate because I went through an old Cert 4 diploma program and then bridged across to a degree and eventual graduate studies. But if I had listened to people back when I was first trying to apply for my first job, and this is well before you needed a degree, I never would have applied because it was the same story perpetuated even back then. You're applying to become a paramedic, yep, with the ambulance service, yep, gee, you're never going to get in, there's too many jobs, there's not enough jobs. There'd be 3,000 people applying for the next thing, take a 50. Wow.
Interesting.
Do you know what though? I want to be one of those 50. And so I literally had to make sure that my CV was built as rigorously as I could to get accepted back then. It's just I didn't have to go through a degree first. And so I do agree with you, it's different. But I've heard this perpetuated, repeated and repeated. And it's like this endless, almost, it's like a negative cycle. It's far easier to repeat negative information than it is positive information. It's far easier to jump on bandwagons than it is to be the point of difference. Now, I'm not having a dig at you, Lou. I'll save, there's plenty of opportunities for that. But she was getting wound up because we had it easier. I'm going to throw it out there and say they've actually got more opportunity because if I wanted to be a paramedic back then, I had one place I could apply to and that was it. So if I wasn't successful, find another career.
It's interesting because back then I was given a job. I didn't even have to interview for my job.
Okay, now you can get angry.
Yeah, I know, right?
Rage.
I'll say it. I finished my final year of study at a university in Queensland and they're like, right, you're going to this station. See you in 2 weeks. I'm like, okay. Did you want me to interview? I'd interviewed for my job at Subway, but I hadn't interviewed to be a paramedic for the Queensland Ambulance Service. Crazy, right? Wild. Like, no, you seem reasonable. But I'd spend a lot of time there doing placements. So there is a degree of vetting that occurred. But back then, it was a different anxiety. It was about, I want to get a job where
Lou,
I want to go.
There was vetting done. Ask him if anyone who graduated from his class didn't get a job.
Do they all get jobs?
I think so.
So there's structural differences. There are different experiences.
But back then, it was the anxiety was, where are you going to get a job? So you just got told, this is where you're going. So a friend of mine who lived 10 minutes down the road from where we are got told, you're going to Mariba. That's, you can have that or you can have nothing. Right. And it was a lottery system. So everyone got put their names in the hat and they just pulled people out.
That's the same process.
What?
That's the same anxiety.
Yeah. So, and you took the job in Mariba, Mergen, and you can have that or you can have nothing. Up to you. So people took it, but over time people just dealt with it.
Yeah.
Right? But it's really interesting because back then, back in my day, right, your options were, and what was encouraged was ambulance services.
Yeah.
Jurisdictional ambulance services. You didn't even think about any other type of career. You didn't even think about going interstate. You didn't even think about going overseas. It was you go and work for the jurisdictional ambulance service and that is it. Now, there was, in the years following that, a shift in the opportunities for people. And it started when a cohort of paramedics started leaving ambulance services to go and work in the mines. And they generally went there for the money because you could go to the mines, make $150,000 a year versus make $75,000 a year working for an ambulance service getting flogged. So you started to see a shift and that was probably the start of alternative careers for paramedics outside of an ambulance service. Did you start to see that shift?
Yeah, it wasn't received well. No. They were the outliers. They were the lepers.
The cowboys.
They were treated quite poorly by anyone. And basically, there was a culture that if you left to go to the mines, you will never come back. We will never accept you. You know what I mean? Again, that's just one of those stories that's perpetuated because there's too many people moving into too many different positions to actually enforce that. But it's an interesting culture of fear that has existed for the last 10, 20 years. And it is just in this repetitive cycle so that every single student is sharing the same experience. So I'm never going to get a job. It's too competitive. There's nothing out there for me. Where does this come from?
Yeah.
Because you didn't start university with this. Mm-mm. You don't start your direction to become a paramedic with the notion of this. Where does it come from?
Now, it's interesting you mentioned that there's a lot of graduates.
Yes.
And not many jobs.
Yes.
Would you say there's not many jobs in a jurisdictional ambulance service or not many jobs for a paramedic?
Not many jobs in a jurisdictional ambulance service.
So why do you need to go work for a jurisdictional ambulance service? Oh, she's wound up.
Don't know if I should answer that.
Let's segue into that in 1 second. Because during my tenure at the State Training Academy in Queensland, the notion of there weren't any jobs was fairly well dispelled, because even in my first year there, we would have put through 8 cohorts of more than 60, right? So doing the maths, that's a much higher recruitment to what existed back when we started. There were literally 2 intakes a year, if you're lucky, right? So it's more than quadrupled. But people aren't taking jobs because they're not in the places they wanted to be, or they're not getting the structure they wanted, so full-time, part-time, casual. But the number of jobs offered has actually increased, and that's just a basic data set. To dispel that, that's actually an easy one. But then to amplify that and to just kind of, I guess, put the brakes on this perpetuation of negativity around jobs, the opportunities outside of ambulance services has exploded for paramedics. That's while I was late trying to get here in traffic, that was what I was on the phone, was actually coordinating 2 paramedics on 2 private sector jobs. One's heading out the resource sector, one's heading to a film set. But there's still this culture of it's not a real job. And this is why I ask, where does this come from? Who does this come from? Because students don't create the culture. The culture exists and they come into it.
Where do you think it comes from, Lou?
It's controversial.
I want names. No, I'm done.
I want names.
Well.
While you think about that, I just jumped onto seek.com. And I typed in paramedic. And I found 713 jobs. And the first one says multiple positions.
There you go.
Yes, yes, Nick, I've seen this before, but I need experience.
Oh, yes. Oh, let's see. Let's have a look. First job, do I need experience? It's casual temp. Desirable skills. No, don't need experience.
Just,
there you go.
Just register.
Try click apply. Quick apply. Apply. What's your last name? Lou.
Thorn.
Congratulations, you've applied. Well done.
Fantastic.
What were we talking about?
Where does it come from?
Where does it stem from? Because I've got my own opinions, but I would love to hear Lou's perspective.
Lou,
certainly
tell us.
We touched on this when you were not here.
You mean when I was coordinating paramedic jobs?
When you were.
This isn't a blame game, but at the
Sounds like a bit.
It is a little bit.
Are you concerned because there's people above you and you're a student? Okay, well let me because I'm not. I don't need to be concerned. I know where this comes from.
Yeah.
I couldn't get people employed at the last university I was in, right? In basic sessional or casual positions teaching, if they hadn't had experience in an ambulance service, because by the definition of the staff who were both above and lateral to me, they weren't real paramedics.
Ooh.
Right now, that's. That's a whole nother topic, right? That's a whole nother topic. But there was this misalignment in our professional identity, even in the people delivering the paramedic programs at a degree level to our brand new cohort, where you've got to have a experience in an ambulance service to be defined as a real paramedic. So we're not going to employ someone as an academic casual who's worked in the resource sector for 8 years, and we're not going to employ someone who's been on a film set for 5 years because they're not a real paramedic, right? And so what that does, that's a whole nother discussion. What that does is it narrows the field and it puts the blinkers not only on each individual person but on our profession, that ambulance is the only pathway for students. Now, ambulance is a good pathway for students because they do run graduate programs across the country in different ways, and graduate programs historically don't really exist in the private sector. But our own
Do you need a graduate program?
Well, our own professional structures in this country don't register our students as graduates, they register them as professional paramedics. Now, again, that's a whole other discussion, which side of the fence you're on that one. I honestly think there are some people who leave university who are ready. I honestly 100%. Think there are some people who are not. But there's also people out there with 10 years experience in ambulance service who still aren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people who are. So this painting things with the same brush is what I have an issue with. But it's the narrowing of the field that then creates this culture and this misalignment of there's no jobs and there's too many graduates. And that causes stress and anxiety in all of the students who are there. And it also puts blinkers on them before they've even graduated mm-hmm. that ambulance is the only way. I've got a couple of colleagues who've worked in the UK in the last couple of years. And the private sector has actually outgrown the NHS. And it's actually almost reverse cultured there, where here you're not a real paramedic unless you've been in an ambulance service. Over there, you're not a real paramedic if you've just worked for the NHS.
Interesting.
And I actually believe we're headed in that direction, but it does take time. But that misalignment comes from this culture of control. Ambulance services used to be the only place we could go. You and I both know that. That was the only job we could apply to. And so that gives them an element of control. It gives them an element of status. And if no one, or if anyone who is directing the profession, and let's face it, anyone who's running an academic program is directing the profession, if they haven't had an experience outside of that, it makes them vulnerable. And where most people respond to vulnerability is to stomp on it and hide it rather than own it and go, wow, I could learn something here. So I hear what you're saying, Lou. And I also accept that when you leave uni, it is an incredibly anxiety-inducing experience because no one knows where your next job will come from, but we need more creativity in how we approach it.
Mm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We need more creativity in the people who are actually guiding the students.
Now, we know that there's an exceptional amount of opportunity in the paramedic sector now to work outside of a jurisdictional ambulance service and have a very fulfilling career and actually make some money without ever having to work for an ambulance. Do you think that message is conveyed at university?
No. I'm just going to say it.
What's the message? Now, we're not having a go at universities because...
Oh, I am.
We're not having a go at them because we think they're bad. No. We're having a go at them because we're trying to start a conversation to elicit some change. Change doesn't come until we have a conversation.
This is where Nick and I are like, you know, the original odd couple. And it's a good thing because you've got to have healthy disagreements.
Yes.
I will have a dig at them because you've got to make people uncomfortable in order to elicit reflection and change. Yeah. Nick is just more diplomatic. I swear too much.
Yeah.
Is this why you need a good cop, bad cop?
But we flip sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes
it's scary. I'm trying
bad
to
bad cop.
Catch up. I think before I do say...
You're not in trouble.
I will say my university, they talk a lot about like community paramedicine and like primary healthcare. So I will
Fantastic.
Say that is great. And I...
Amazing.
I love that.
Where are the jobs there? You can't talk about the topic without
that's
jobs.
That's very true.
Are there any jobs?
Well, there are, but most of the people who would be at Lewes University work in ambulance services. Mm. Now, if we're specific to Queensland, that would also limit it to things like La Rue. If you go to Victoria, there is a really growing space in community paramedicine and private sector organisations recruiting newly qualified paramedics straight out of university to move into the community space, but there's certainly not the same movement here. I don't know what the rest of the country is doing, and I'd love to hear from listeners about what initiatives have been done.
I remember that job that came across our desk for a community paramedic to work in a clinic in West Australia.
Mm.
West Australia is very progressive because the West Australian government understand that there's problems that they can't solve, and they're willing to dig money out of the ground and throw it at
Amazing.
Problems.
Can I disagree
to solve
with him again?
Go on.
I think they're the opposite of progressive. What's the opposite of progressive?
I think they're quite progressive.
I'm just having a dig at WA.
It's the opposite of progressive?
No, but did you know
Are they less progressive than Queensland?
Regressive?
Well, considering
how much private sector opportunities are there in Queensland besides the mines?
Well, the reason that there's so much private sector work available in West Australia is because there's nothing to regulate what you do there. You and I can literally take our car to West Australia. We can literally spray paint ambulance or paramedic or whatever we want on the side of the car. And we can start charging people for our services. There's nothing to regulate it.
Interesting.
So whether you call that progressive or the opposite, what's the opposite?
Is it regressive? No, I don't know.
It's like evolution, de-evolution. Look, I honestly don't know which is the better strategy because at least that enables WA to have some creativity in how they approach it because we are limited in places like Queensland and New South Wales by so many acts and laws and policy, whatever. You can't. And so this is why the community paramedicine movement has not grown as quickly in Queensland as it has in Victoria. So maybe I'm wrong and maybe West Australia are actually more progressive because they have not limited this growth. But by not limiting it, you're also not regulating or controlling it, and that could be dangerous.
That's the problem. If you regulate something, does it limit creativity?
Well, this is also part of the discussion that, or part of the issue of the discussion that Lou has raised, is there's certainly people who sit on opposite sides of the fence here that it's dangerous and uncontrollable if you put a newly qualified paramedic who's got no experience into a private sector role.
But you can support them, though.
You know, when I came through my Cert 4 and diploma, I had to do 6 weeks training with the ambulance service. 6 weeks. And 6 weeks later, I was put in uniform and in an ambulance. And I was responding. And if you recall, because we met a few weeks later, we responded to a job alone ourselves.
Fine.
So I find there's a lot of criticism from people from our era about people's experience. They don't have enough experience to do that. And I sit there thinking, do you not remember where we came from? I'm not saying throw people out there unsupported, but what I'm saying is we certainly did not have the experience until we were given the opportunity to get it.
And did you have consult 100%. Lines back then as well?
Oh, not really.
I'm trying to think.
But not what they have now?
No, not at all.
So much more support.
Not at all. And it was a paper CPM that you'd have to flick through, and it was quite cumbersome. My dog ate mine. Legitimately. But I find it interesting that we can criticise things so hypocritically without actually reflecting on where we came from. So I sit on the other side of the fence, which is, you know what? This person has just gone three or four years of extensive study, depending on where they are, a lot of bullying and harassment as well. But anyway, that's a whole other story. Maybe they might be high fidelity simulations. Maybe they might be the lowest, most crapology simulations you've ever seen. The universities are at stark differences, so we can't even regulate how they're running simulations. How are then we going to just paint them with the same brush to say, no, they can't do it? So I sit on the side of the fence that is, if they've got 3 years' worth of education behind them and they're registered, we should be able to put them in a professional role.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not at a supervisory role, but they still should be able to work as a clinician, whether they've got a partner, whether they're isolated. Like it. But that's going to offend.
You asked someone at your university the other day about whether or not you should look into a career in the mines. And what was the response you got?
Oh, I'm curious.
It was...
Just know that if you ever get pulled into an interview to discuss your conduct...
So uncomfortable.
Sonny and I are going to come in there and like be the muscles.
It came from a place...
This is all on us.
It came from a positive place.
Tell us how you really feel.
But it was centered around the fact that there are minimal jobs out there.
Yeah.
Minimal experience. The paramedics that do work out there are sort of, they themselves aren't great because they don't get a lot of exposure like a jurisdictional ambulance service.
I would love to rip that apart. I think we need to.
Yeah. Okay. So the crux of the statement is that you go to the mines and they're not very good because they got no experience. Okay, so my first question, I'm curious, I'm trying not to be angry. So my first point is, what is the definition of experience?
Oh, see, I've got a question even before that. Has this person been to the mines?
They have someone very close to them that...
Oh, so they've never been there themselves?
No, but someone
Isn't
close
that interesting?
To them
works. Very interesting.
I'm going to have an opinion on something so I've never experienced.
What is the definition of experience?
Yeah,
that's my first question.
Is it
exposure to high acuity?
Mm. Or is it time on the job?
Is it time on the job?
Mm, great question.
Well, because to me, experience is different things. Yeah. It can be exposure to different types of cases.
And it's relative
a variety of
to
cases.
Your job, right?
Correct. It is extraordinarily relative to the environment you work in.
Yeah. So what if it's all primary healthcare and that's all you're seeing? Great. You've got great experience.
Exactly. So I have a lot of experience at really sick people. My experience at primary care is rubbish, right? Does that mean I'm experienced or not experienced? It depends on the type of work that you're doing. So in the mines, yes, you might not have as much exposure to the high acuity stuff, but that's a good thing. It means their workplace health and safety is doing the right job, right?
I would also, especially for metropolitan areas of ambulance services, just hazard a guess that their exposure to high acuity jobs is actually just as limited as the people in the mines because... There are just so many ambulances in the metropolitan areas, and I can only draw this from my own experience. which when I came from regional Queensland to metropolitan.
I'm saying the word experience a lot.
I'll figure out a synonym. I spent 12 months working in the city before I was actually clinically challenged for the first time. Now, working regionally, I'd been clinically challenged every fortnight because of the limited resources. Yep. So they might have more jobs to go to, but does that translate to experience? If you're just going to the next non-acute job, or you're going to the next transport, or you're going to another non-acute job, or you're going to something that has been defined acute, and when you get there, it's actually not that acute. Do they, is this how we're measuring it?
If you go to the same job 10 times but have the same approach 10 times, does that change your level of experience? Just quickly, synonyms, skills, knowledge, familiarity.
This is for experience?
Yeah. Familiar, I can't even say it.
Let's run with experience.
Yeah.
So the person who guided you has never experienced it for themselves. They're running off secondhand information. See what I mean about it's easy to perpetuate the negative side of things and the positive.
Do you know what the MindSights are really good at? MindSight paramedics are very good at keeping people in minds. Because if someone turns up and they're a truck driver and they're like, I have this sore shoulder, or I have an infection, or I have something wrong.
I have a list of comorbidities longer than the road I just drove on.
Correct. All right. If that person just go, if you just say, oh, we'll send you to hospital, that person can't do their job, that mind's losing money, right? That mind can't operate. So there's a huge onus about getting that person, limiting the amount of time they need off work, getting them back to being capable of doing their job role as quickly as possible and being able to manage them in-house so they have really good structures and really good methods.
That's not a 20-minute scenario.
No,
like,
it's not.
But
right?
Like health education.
Yeah.
That's health, great.
So do a lot of health education, the little lot of stuff, low-hanging fruit stuff.
It's longitudinal primary care. Yeah.
And there's a lot of getting people back into their roles. So someone twists their knee, they've got an ACL injury. How do I rehabilitate that person to get them back into their job as quickly as possible? Not only for them, because there's a lot of good things that come from being able to go and do a job, but also it means they do their job, their mind makes money.
Yeah. And this is what interests me. I love primary healthcare. I love...
The challenges, and this is the thing, is I can have an opinion on this, right? And this is why I do pull people apart who have opinions sometimes, is because I've worked in multiple ambulances. I've worked in them around the world. I've worked in humanitarian deployments. I've worked on expeditions. I've worked on film and TV sets. I've worked in the mines, right? And I can argue that all of those are vastly different environments to clinically practice. And at the moment, a paramedic degree actually won't prepare you for those. Now, the person who has essentially discouraged you from this has never experienced this. And like I said, people hide their vulnerability by stomping on things. And so they've stomped on any kind of ambition that you might have by criticizing it.
Yeah.
And yet the environment, like Nick has just explained, is so vastly different that I don't even think you can compare them. Mm-hmm. You're comparing apples and oranges. Mm. Interestingly, there was a student I taught, it must be nearly 5 years ago. He wanted to get going straight away. And so I actually had said, you know, well, hey, why don't you look at the private sector? I need experience. No, man, like, let's have a look. And we did what you did, looked at SEEK. And he actually started working in the mines the next week, right? This is 5 years ago. I can't tell you how many students I've had this same experience with. But why I raise this one is important is because after 12 months working in the mines, he was genuinely depressed. I can't get into an ambulance service. I'm not a real paramedic. And I said, what do you mean? Like, what's going on? He didn't feel value in what he was doing. And I said to him, surely you've been challenged by some things. He then went on to tell me about the latest job that he did, which was literally going 2 kilometres underground in breathing apparatus with a rescue team to pull an unconscious GCS-8 person out of an ammonia pocket. It was a 9-hour rescue. And he was the only clinician that had to stabilise and treat and look after this person whilst he's in breathing apparatus. And I sat there, nearly falling off my chair going, do you think anyone who's been sitting in an ambulance service that got a job before you in the last 12 months has done anything even close to that?
They're on the ramp, mate.
And we're not valuing this.
Hour six of the ramp.
We're not valuing this as part of our profession.
Yeah.
So the person who you spoke to has never experienced it. I'm kind of keen to dismiss it.
I'm going to say something.
Yes.
To our listeners out there, if you work in the private sector, write to us. Tell us about an interesting experience that you've had in the private sector.
Be good. So we should share some of it.
Because you see, you go on LinkedIn, you see all these ambulance paramedics, and look, I'm guilty of it. I've done it before. All right. But we see a lot of ambulance paramedics tell about some cool ambulance story that's happened. Like the guy gets his leg cut off in the.
I might have written a book about it.
I mean, but that's fair. It's relative to your experience. That's fair.
It is.
It is part. It's a small part of the experience.
Yeah.
So I think it starts with the education. I did some Googling.
Uh-oh.
It's got to be right.
Yeah.
I did some Googling because you said maybe universities don't make us feel empowered to go and look at alternative careers besides jurisdictional ambulance services.
And why?
When really there's so many opportunities out there for people and they need to be coming out of university feeling like they can do anything. And the same for, I think, also for experienced paramedics. I think there's this perception that, well, I can only work for an ambulance service. I can't go out there and do other things. I'll just stay here and be sad.
Well, it's the creativity that's missing. Lou, you're doing placement at the moment.
I sure am.
Where are you doing placement?
Am I allowed to say?
For an Australian ambulance service.
Yes.
Okay.
The region?
Where
it's
was,
the city.
Where was your last placement?
Metropolitan city an Australian ambulance service.
I'm genuinely curious.
My last placement was more, what would you call it, remote?
Regional.
No, regional.
I guess what I'm looking for, is it ambulance service or is it private sector?
Yeah, it's ambulance service.
Now, there's people who say, look, you just can't get placement in private sector. And look, that may be true, but these are the conversations we've got to have. We've got to look at this more creativity.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we've been taking students over to Timor and Nepal for so many years, is because
so good.
You see them come back with just their blinkers off, but then they fall back into the same perpetual cycle of there's no jobs, I've got to work for an ambulance service, blah, 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 blah.
I went on Google and I typed in Bachelor of Paramedic Science and I found a university. I won't say which one, otherwise they might get upset at me, but I went on and I looked at this, you know, the tab on the on the page that says careers, tells you what careers you can have when you do that degree. So I went on, Bachelor of Paramedic Science, and it says, why choose this course? I'm going to read it to you. Ready? Story time. This university says, this course was at Queensland. Oh, I can't write that. This course.
He just said it.
Beep.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it.
There
they can sue me. This course was Queensland's.
It's actually public knowledge.
Yeah.
First degree in paramedic science, and our established partnerships ensure you will complete extensive placements with the Queensland Ambulance Service. Now, our staff are experienced paramedics, and that's not the section I'm looking for. Oh, where is it?
I've also just Googled Bachelor of Paramedicine. I was just curious.
Mm.
And the first four universities I looked at in the country actually have pictures of ambulances.
It's
part of the tunneling or funneling of people into just this one notion of what we can do. Yeah, go, Nick.
Careers and outcomes. Graduates may be employed as an ambulance paramedic with QAS and national and international agencies. They may complete further study for a career as a critical care paramedic or for careers in health service management, public health, or emergency and disaster management. And then there's a lovely photo of a student saying, I had a great time on placement working with the high acuity response unit, Queensland's elite paramedics who go to major trauma. What do you think of that?
Go, Lou. I'll answer Nick.
I'm a student. I just don't know if I've made that clear. I was...
At least we've educated you to take the just out of the sentence.
I know.
You're a next-gen paramedic.
I was saying to Nick, this is probably a bit random, I have not been to a single cardiac arrest.
What?
I have barely been to any trauma. It's all been what you would say, low acuity, community work, having a chat.
Do you know the average paramedic does like 1.13 cardiac arrests a year?
Kind of emphasises our point about the notion of experience because you can't actually measure that adequately.
But everyone, all my mates around me have all been talking, sorry guys, they've all been talking about, I've been to this cardiac arrest, I've been to this cardiac arrest.
Some of those would have gone to a cardiac arrest that was unworkable and they're still talking it up because that's, I mean, as paramedics, everyone's competitive. Some would have been to a cardiac arrest and been third on scene.
Mm. But I'm over here helping lift nanas up and it's great.
I finished my Cert 4, my diploma, my bridging degree. I had been mentoring and teaching for a couple of years before I went to my first seizure. I remember I was a solo officer. I remember walking in to this person seizing and in my head went, holy shit, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Where am I at? Hold on. D.
Yes.
D, R, medazolam. No. but again, it comes to how do you measure experience? Because people might go, wow, he's got no experience. No, I didn't. But at that time, I had also decompressed four chests. I'd caught four babies. And there are other things that you just couldn't measure.
Mm.
But I had never been to a seizure. Now, that wasn't something that I actively hid either.
Mm.
Because if I hid that while I was working with a student and then we had one, I would be exposed. So it's much easier If I had a student to say, hey, where are you up to? What are you doing?
Mm.
Is there anything that makes you nervous? Mm. Great. I've either been to that or I haven't. And then say to them, ask me the same questions.
Yeah.
Ask me the same questions. And I would always raise, I've never been to a seizure. So if we get to a seizure, we've got to support each other just as much as we. The irony was I was by myself and no one could see me flap.
So the moral of the story is get a job where you work by yourself.
No one can see you fail. No, it's better. I also Googled Bachelor Paramedics and I was just curious. And I just, there's a heavy weight towards ambulance photos across the website. So it kind of sets students up to perpetuate this story that is then sold to them by people who they look up to. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, first, second and third year students will look up to their academic mentors and they will also look up to their placement mentors, most of, unless they're tortured. And so they will repeat the same information, but I think there's a small shift occurring because we are getting, so I won't use names, but Nick, we spoke about one of our former students a month ago who we knew had been working in the resource sector until he was successful getting a job in a ambulance service.
Oh, yes.
And
let's call him Jim.
Most recently.
Good old Jim.
I tried to get hold of Jim for something. I couldn't. And I inquired with someone else and they said, no, he's now working back in the resource sector. And so I got a hold of Jim and I said, what on earth happened?
Good on you, Jim.
And he said, I just enjoyed this far more.
Oh.
I'm earning more money. This is a completely different environment. This is a different way of being a paramedic. And I enjoy this more. Here I get to do vertical rescue. I get to do confined space rescue. I get to do road crash rescue. And I'm enjoying myself. So I did 12 months of ambulance. But it is exactly what I did in my placement. It's not what I want to do. So there's this transitional shift in the new generation who are valuing things that are outside. I know he wouldn't mind me naming him, but Dylan.
Dylan. I love Dylan.
You know, I mean, actually, I can't talk about his next contract because he's under NDAs. But in January, Dylan's off to work with another A-list Hollywood celebrity, right? This would mean he's worked with probably a dozen A-listers over the last 4 years. Now, that's not how he measures his success.
Is it Russell Coit?
No, it's not.
Russell Coit.
But he's another example of someone who basically went through the degree and didn't enjoy themselves. They didn't enjoy the culture of ambulance. They didn't enjoy the culture of education. And they looked for other things. And so he found his place and he found his people in the film industry. And he's managed to actually nest himself in there to the point where he's actually now employing other paramedics and he's actually an advocate for graduates because the points he makes whenever I talk to him too is he finished a 3-year degree in ambulance and it didn't actually prepare him to be a paramedic on a film set. He had to relearn everything and he had to learn a new way of delivering care. And now he's very successfully doing that and he's actually bringing other people in. So there's the future of paramedicine jobs are actually jobs that paramedics aren't doing right now. And this is where I talk about creativity. You've got a qualification that can literally take you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the only person or the only thing that's going to limit that is you or the profession, the people leading that profession. And so this is why I'm not fussed when I offend people who are equal to me or above me. I'm not fussed. Because if you can't accept change, if you can't get creative and actually look at different ways, you're actually going to limit the profession and limit our next generation. And I'm not prepared to do that. My career has literally taken me to the four corners of the globe in some of the weirdest and wonderful places that I can't even describe. Underwater in hot air balloons, on cruise ships and mine site, and some of the best people I've met are out there too. And they value the skills that we bring in. They value the experience we bring in. Because they're not measuring our experience the way that so many of our guiding mentors are. It's the same way in high school. I mean, I know that you were a boy genius, right? I wasn't.
No.
You were. He was, Lou.
Yeah.
He was going to be a doctor. He just rebelled. Anyway. I went through high school struggling the whole time because I was measured based on an academic number.
Yeah.
And I was not an academic kid.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I joined the army that I was actually valued for my capability, right? And that's actually what took me on a journey then from army to army medic to patrol medic to expeditionary medic to then can I do a Cert 4? Can I do a diploma? Holy shit, mum, I got a degree.
Now you're running a master's program.
Amazing.
But we've got to value the next generation paramedic differently.
Yeah.
And we need to value our profession differently.
Yeah, and inspire this conversation with them.
And it starts with, it needs to be driven by the people that the next generation of paramedics look up to. And that's the university,
Well, it's the people guiding it.
The colleagues and peak bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a peak body and they do some fantastic work. But I read their report the other day, their annual report, and in every single photo is a photo of a ambulance or a paramedic wearing a jurisdictional ambulance uniform. And I feel like as the peak body for the profession, they need to make sure that they represent all of the paramedics within that profession.
Mm-hmm.
There was a remote and rural special interest group years ago that I was a part of, and it did get shut down. There's no real explanation for it. It was an incredibly disappointing development because then they raised special interest groups in each of the ambulance services in each of the states to represent, but there was nothing actually representing the private sector. Now, I haven't been involved extensively with the peak body.
I'm looking at their website now, ambulance.
They may have ambulance. Reverse that decision, I don't know, but I took my energy elsewhere because it didn't represent the direction that I could see paramedicine.
Well, Lou, what percentage of paramedics do you think work in the private sector in Australia?
I'm going to pretend that you didn't tell me.
Oh, see, I don't know.
Oh, Sonny, how many?
Yeah, let's...
Hold on a second. Can I just clarify?
There's 26,400 registered paramedics.
He answered my question before I asked it. Right, so there's over 20,000... 26,432. And how many of those work in the private sector?
Yep.
Well, based on the perpetuation of what's discussed, I'm going to say 12%.
So that's you, me, and Lou. How many, Lou?
Lou, you know. What is it? What is it?
30%, right?
30%! That's right. So 30% of registered paramedics in Australia, so ARPA registered paramedics.
Nearly one third.
Work in the private sector. That's 7,500 paramedics.
See what I did with the maths there?
Yeah.
30% was nearly one.
So day. If we take that crude mathematics, right, how many people in your cohort at university?
Graduating. Yep.
Graduating. Like 100?
Around 80.
110.
Okay.
100.
We'll go with that.
He just doesn't know how to make 30% from 80.
I don't.
100.
Maths was not my forte.
90.
No, 90's hard. Let's do 100.
90's hard.
What?
90, no. She just gave you the easiest number.
Oh, 90. 70% of 90.
I take back everything I said about him being a boy genius.
Yeah.
Or 70% of 90.
This is the guy that does like pediatric drug counts on the side of the street. And
I'm not very good
on the side of the street.
next to the ferry down the street.
Yeah. The ferry that's not on a waterway.
So 30 statistically, of her colleagues. 30 of her
30
colleagues
of your colleagues are never going to work for an ambulance service.
Wow.
Do you think? Okay.
So, I mean, that's also an interesting point because this discussion is not to slam ambulance services. It's not to slam where we come from. They're still going to be one of the larger providers of paramedics. But that's now. Like I said, as things progress, the next paramedic jobs actually have no paramedics working in them at the moment. There were no paramedics working on film sets, 10, 20 years ago. There were no paramedics working the humanitarian deployments. Do you know, this is super interesting, but one of my colleagues is literally one of the first paramedics to be employed by the Australian Antarctic Division.
That's cool.
Now, historically, that's been nurse and doctor, but, so these are the developments that are occurring. So although ambulance services are one of the larger providers, it is going to even out. If you'd looked at those statistics, 10 years ago, it would probably have been 5 or 10%.
I've got a scenario for you, Lou. You're a paramedic. Your patients become agitated.
Mm-hmm.
Glad they weren't seizing. One.
They're agitated.
Or in cardiac.
They're being restrained. But you're a paramedic on an A380 retrieving this patient from Europe back to Australia. You sedate said patient and the captain says, what should we do?
Keep going.
Have you ever had that scenario at university? Because that was a real thing that happened last month.
But this is the issue with having predominantly drawn the academic staff from ambulance services.
Mm-hmm.
It's prolific across, Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria. I mean, I can't comment much on South Australia, WA, places like that, but it's just prolific. And because there's such a narrow field of experiences, they can't even conceive these kinds of things. And yet this was a paramedic problem last week. I remember us talking about this. You're at 38,000 feet flying 800 kilometers an hour in a little metal tube with very limited resources and a captain
full
of 500 people saying to you, what are we doing next? Where was that scenario?
Is this patient safe to continue?
Can you consult?
Nope.
The pilot's consulting with you.
I didn't get taught this at uni, so it's not in my ballpark.
But the irony is none of us did.
Yeah.
So remember Dylan, as the example on the film set, had to relearn everything and basically develop the space for paramedicine. What Nick is talking about has not been taught, right? And so the people working in these environments have been developing this space. Now, there are graduate certificates in aeromedical retrieval, but I promise you the two or three that exist in Australia are so heavily influenced by the rotary wing parts of ambulance services that even this question is something that would floor a lot of them.
Do you think if you had scenarios like that or discussions like that in your studies that you'd be drawn more away from wanting to be a jurisdictional ambulance paramedic? Or do you think you'd be less anxious about not getting a job?
Yeah, I think less anxious around getting a job and going, there's more options.
I know what people are going to be saying right now listening to this. They're going to be saying there's no way a graduate is going to be in that position, right? And so I'm here to counter that and say, again, these people having experiences from a narrow bias perspective, because I have seen people who would be defined as a graduate paramedic working in the aeromedical retrieval space, both internationally and in the developing world.
I've seen graduates in quotation marks working on film and TV sets.
Whether people think that's appropriate or not, it is occurring, right? I know two people who qualified and their first job was in an aircraft or a helicopter, right? That was their first job and that's the only place they've worked. And there will be people who are criticising it now saying, well, if that has happened, it's not appropriate. And again, my question is, well, by whose measure? Because these people have actually had to adapt and relearn everything that they did learn in a different environment.
What's the most dangerous phrase in the English language?
Oh, I tried to say this, but I quoted Einstein.
We've done it.
Because that's how we've always done it.
Oh, yeah.
We do it that way because that's how we've always done it.
Yes.
Now, we've got to be careful because if you are changing things, if you are implementing change, if we are going down a direction no one has before, it can be a little bit uncontrolled. It can be cowboy, cowgirl. It can be uncontrolled. And you've got to be very careful because we need to have enough emotional intelligence to actually carefully analyze what is occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe? Can it be improved? Can it be orchestrated? And the notion of this just definitive, no, we can't because they've got no experience, I disagree with, because the way that we've educated everyone, the way that we've come, the experiences that have been brought to educate people actually don't apply to certain environments and certain jobs. Mm. So I think it is a very dangerous approach when people say no.
We should do a conference, a one-day conference, which is just private sector work.
Or just bring
and drawing people from the private sector to come and speak about their experiences.
The irony is, you know, there's a lot of students out there who would be extraordinarily interested in that, but I actually think there'd be a lot of ambulance paramedics who would be drawn to that.
We get some sponsors. Get a few tables.
That. Imagine bringing a case study up that we just spoke about, right? The 40,000 feet. The case study I got from a hot air balloon. The case study of, you know, working with Shark. We've got so many different case studies of paramedics working in places, and all of those jobs didn't exist when I started. Sometimes when I get asked if I can assist develop a space, I get excited because it's a place that we've never worked before. But we need more of those discussions, and we need less criticism coming from our own profession, and we need less no.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be able to show. I mean, do you know, all through COVID, there was this push to bring student nurses out of the hospitals and into roles to support the healthcare dilemmas that were occurring. And the paramedic students weren't even looked at, right? And so we actually wrote an article that was called Trained, Ready, Yet Underutilized. And we published it. And we basically said the Australian government is missing out on
string COVID
10,000 student paramedics who are ready. And not just 10,000 student paramedics that are ready, but there's also paramedics who have graduated who are waiting for jobs, right? Do you know where the biggest criticism of that article came from? It wasn't from the government. It wasn't from the media.
Universities.
It was from the profession. It was from paramedics criticizing our students are not ready. Now, if we can't even accept that our students and graduates are being developed to a place where they can be useful, no one's going to believe us. No one's going to assist. We are literally the biggest thing holding paramedicine back. And it comes from a place of fear because we are vulnerable because we've never done it before. And this is why when Lou asked about the resource sector, one of the first people to talk to her criticizes it because they've never done it. Oh, but I've got a friend who's done it. Oh, piss off. Can I say that? Sorry.
You can say whatever you want, mate.
I'm a little bit inflammatory sometimes. But it is. It is just a simple fact that the only thing that's going to hold paramedicine back are paramedics.
Mm-hmm.
nothing else will. So if we have more of these conversations and more encouragement and more creativity in how we approach these, the next 10 years are going to be fun. We should see paramedics in space.
Space.
Which I have talked on in the past too and got laughed
at. We might see paramedics on ferries.
Do you know SpaceX?
Not this one.
You know SpaceX? For the last 3 years have had two paramedic positions that they fill. SpaceX.
You could go hang out with Elon.
I don't think you hang out with Elon, Nick. There's a lot of people who work for that company.
It's not just Elon flying the plane.
Elon in his dungeon building rockets.
Lou, at the start of this conversation, you were angry.
Are you still angry?
Where are
no.
we?
Do you need some coffee?
No, thank you.
I wouldn't mind some coffee.
I feel like it's
mugs.
Flipped a little bit more in that you weren't entitled. Maybe we're entitled a little bit, students, to all. Now you think about all the opportunities that we have in front of us in comparison to what you guys had. Maybe we are entitled.
I think back then it was easier to get a job with the jurisdictional ambulance service, but now there's more opportunities.
Yes.
But we need to empower people to realise that.
Yes, that they are going to be real paramedics, irrespective of what sort of sector they work in.
Maybe for our training days, we should just do non-ambulance specific.
Yeah, it's like Lou traversing on a ferry.
That's on the road. Oh, dear.
I like it. Hey, I think that's all we have time for this morning, this afternoon. It's just past midday.
Really?
Apologies.
If you'd like to hear more about this topic or you have any questions, qualms, queries, or concerns, reach out to us. We're online or on Facebook or on Instagram. Or email us.
Did you literally just say we're online?
Yeah.
What's our email?
hello@theshiftextension.org.
Or www.theshiftextension.org is our website. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Lucy. Thanks, Sunny.
Thank you.
See you next time.